Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome in to the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. It is Wednesday, November 17th. Michael Beller and Derek Van Riper here with you. If it's the two of us, if it is Wednesday, it is Survivor Day on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. DVR, an interesting week that we have to recap last week indeed.
Yeah, we got the late news, like late Saturday, that Ben Roethlisberger was not going to play in that Steelers-Lions game, and that was all I needed to get away from Pittsburgh. I thought there was a strong case for the Cowboys anyway, so hopefully you saw the news before things locked on Sunday. Hopefully you avoided that tie, which is not a win, therefore is grounds for elimination in most pools. I don't know if there's any pools out there that actually said, no, you're still in, and we don't have a rule for a tie, so you can stay longer. Hopefully that's not the case, but it was a strange week, and this week looks really difficult just because the teams that have been used so far and the actual popular teams not necessarily being teams you feel great about with your entire season on the line.
Yeah, so last week, DVR and I both had as our one true pick Steelers over Lions. Then we get the Ben Roethlisberger news. That's why we give secondary picks. DVR and I, in our actual pools, both came off of the Steelers for obvious reasons. As DVR said, that should count as a loss in pretty much every pool. DVR, I actually am in one pool that counted it as a win, and I had no idea. It's a pool that I'm in with a bunch of my friends, and I was watching with one of them, and I was on the Cowboys in that pool. Oh, he was on the Cowboys too, and so the Steelers tie happens. We're fist pumping. We're like, this is a big pool. This is like something around 1,000 people starting. We're down in like the 20 range left, and so me and him are both really excited, and then I refresh the page, and the people who had the Steelers are in. And I actually emailed the guy who runs the pool, and he's like, oh, yeah, no, we have rules at the start of the year. We said we count ties as wins. And I was like, all right, well, that's stupid. But, hey, I guess rules at the start of the year. I guess anyone could take advantage of them. But anyways, a whole long way of saying that you shouldn't count ties as wins. We're not counting ties as wins here. DVR and I are coming off of them. That's why we give the secondary picks. DVR threw up Dallas last week. I threw up the Titans over the Saints. Both of those came through. That's what we're going to count in this show's pool as getting us moved on to Week 11. And hopefully you all out there think that's a reasonable case for us to make because no one should have been backing the Steelers against the Lions without Ben Roethlisberger. And we saw the case for why that should be the case. You mentioned, DVR, that this is an interesting week because of the big favorites having some question marks. Let's talk about those big favorites. The two big ones, Titans over Texans, that is at 51.4% usage in Yahoo Survivor pools right now. And then Browns over Lions is at 18%. We know the Titans just haven't been the same team without Derrick Henry, even though they've won both games they've played without Derrick Henry. The Browns, meanwhile, coming off a chastening loss to the Patriots last week, 45-7. Baker Mayfield in doubt for this game against the Lions at home. And so that makes it a little bit more tricky to use the two most popular plays on the board. We've also got the Buccaneers over the Giants. That's sitting at 11.5%. Next most popular right now is 49ers over Jaguars. That's at 7%. So we've got three teams sitting in double-digit usage range. I still think there's a good argument for Browns over Lions, DVR. And that's where I lean. But I want to hear what you've got first for us as we get into our one true pick range.
So I want to pick the Ravens. And I don't think coming off the disappointing loss to the Dolphins, like that's going to define their season and send them into some sort of tailspin. They are a 6-point road favorite in Chicago, according to BetMGM at the time of this recording. It's not as good as what you're getting in the more highly utilized teams in the pool this week, but it's enough. And I think part of my confidence comes from the Massey Peabody rankings, where the Ravens are the fifth best team in the NFL. And I don't know if I agree with that in a vacuum. I don't think they're the fifth best team in the NFL, but they're not far from it. I look at the Bears in that model. The Bears are almost a bottom five team. I think they are, if I'm counting correctly on the fly, 26th in the Massey Peabody rankings. It's a pretty big gap. The gap is probably a little more than 6 points, even in Chicago. I know there's some narrative-based things here. There's some health-based things in play as well. Why should I not trust the Ravens in this spot? As one of my most trusted friends who watches the Bears every single week, are they a legitimate threat to win this game? And a six-point dog's not that big of a dog. Are they a legitimate threat to ruin my season if I do, in fact, stick with the Ravens as my one true pick?
I think they are, DBR. I really do think they are. I think we've seen Justin Fields turn a corner over these last couple of games. I mean, that game against the Steelers where he brought the Bears back, really impressive second half. The touchdown drive that put them ahead, that was a spot where the Bears took over with, you know, just outside the two-minute warning, and he marched them right downfield. Two huge throws on that drive. One to Allen Robinson down the right sideline that picked up about 35 yards. And then the very next play, about a 25-yard, 20-yard touchdown pass to Darnell Mooney. That was just football savvy and IQ off the charts. A ball that he threw before Mooney was open. Mooney was never even really open. He was thrown open, and he threw it to a spot where he knew his receiver would have a chance to adjust to the ball, and it would either be a great touchdown pass or it would be an incomplete pass, no harm, no foul, and they just move on to second down. And that was just a great play by Justin Fields. It was one where he broke the pocket. First couple of reads weren't open, broke the pocket. Darnell Mooney working with him and just sort of turning and running upfield. And it was a play that showed you why the Bears were so excited to draft him. And we haven't seen a ton of those so far this season, but I think that's reasonable from a rookie. And we're starting to see things come together for Justin Fields over the last two games that the Bears played. Then throw into this that they were able to go into their bye after that. So now they're coming out of the bye. Probably do a few new things in the bye week, install a few new things, and especially when you're talking about a guy going into his bye with that level of personal play and personal growth, I'm very excited to see what he can do. You couple that with a banged-up Ravens defense, and suddenly the elements for a upset victory by the Bears are in play. This is a home game for the Bears. This game's going to be in Chicago. I think this is a little bit too big of a spread, frankly, and I don't want to go into a game where I already think the spread's too high. I don't want to go into a game saying I'm going to take the favorite, but I like the dog against the spread. Like there, I want no part of that sort of thinking in Survivor. And I think there's a lot of good reason to like what the Bears are doing because of what Justin Fields is doing. I do think the Ravens win this game. And I'm not out here saying this is going to be an upset. I'm not out here saying that your season is going to be ruined. I think that given what you have available to you, this is a unnecessary roll of the dice to go with the Ravens.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it for me is seeing that half the people in pools might be on the Titans. That's a huge share of remaining entries. I want to try and get leverage there. It would probably be the Browns if I had to pick from one of the two favorite teams, but I could see chaos. I mean, Case Keenum is a better than average backup. The Browns are generally a well-coached team. I think they'd be fine without Baker, but if they're not, if the Lions tie for the second week in a row, hey, stranger things have happened. You know, maybe that's a slippery slope that I just don't want to go down. So I think the other thing for me, looking at this Ravens-Bears matchup, I think it's surprising. The Bears pass defense, one of seven in the league this season, allowing 8 point yards per attempt to opposing passers. Lions, Jets, Texans, Ravens, Chiefs, Jags are the other six. So this game might shoot out somewhat unexpectedly. That could be the source of chaos. That could be my downfall, is that the Ravens defense can't actually get stops and comes down to who has the ball last, and the Bears could maybe pull it off that way. But I think for leverage purposes, because I don't have Tampa Bay, I don't have San Francisco at my disposal, I think I'm trying as best I can to stay away from Titans, Browns. Not a surprise, Lamar Jackson dealing with a non-COVID illness right now. It seems like he pops up with a non-COVID illness like every 2 to 3 weeks. Yes. It's early in the week, so if we find out something's wrong and he's not going to play, it's a pivot situation for me. But I think we can take the question mark away. I think it is going to be the Ravens for me as my one true pick. I think that's where I'm going to go. It's probably the least confident I have been in a Survivor pick this season, which is not a great feeling to have.
Hey, I'm just happy we were able to remove the question mark. So there it is. It is no longer a question mark. It is Ravens over Bears. You know what? In fact, let's go one better.
Oh, are you going to go with an exclamation
point? Yeah. Ravens over Bears. Boom. No question mark. We're throwing an exclamation point on it. The reason why I think you shouldn't is because you do have the Browns available, and I understand why you would be afraid of the Browns after what we saw for them against the Patriots a week ago and Baker Mayfield's injury situation, but this should just be a game that they're able to handle, even if it's not Baker, even if it's Case Keenum. The Lions are an atrocious team. The Lions are an incredibly bad team. And Jared Goff sounds like if there's one quarterback who's really in question for this game, it's him. It's Jared Goff dealing with this oblique injury that the Lions are calling day-to-day. Tim Boyle, who is on IR but designated to return, would be starting in place of Jared Goff if he is unable to go. And this Lions offense has just been absolutely terrible this season, DVR. Just absolutely terrible. That first game of the season where they somehow rallied in the fourth quarter against San Francisco and scored 33 points has proven to be an outlier since then. 17, 17, 14, 17, 11, 19, 6, 16. I mean, they have not broken 20 points since that game in week one, and that is just something we don't see in the modern NFL. We see a team every now and again is going to get into 24, 27. Houston's done it. The Jets have done it. The worst teams in the NFL have done it, and this Lions team just can't. It is a terrible offense. There are no pass catchers in this offense that scare you in the least. This has been a dreadful offense all season, and now suddenly they could be starting Tim Boyle as well, and they're going up against that Browns defense that is absolutely in a bounce back spot back home against a team this bad. I don't care if it's Case Keenum starting. The Browns win this game with ease. With ease. Give me the Browns, and this is a great spot to use the Browns because I'm not sure if you're definitely not going to have a better chance to use the Browns. And I'm not sure, DVR, if you really would have any chance down the road where you would even really want to consider using the Browns the rest of the season. According to the Mike Clay chart that we love referencing on this, Mike Clay over at ESPN, their biggest win probability after this week is 51% in week 15. This week they're at 72%. It's really now or never for the Browns, so I'm going to say now.
Yeah, I don't think they have a lot of long-term appeal, so I think that argument definitely makes sense. And, you know, I was intrigued by your Justin Fields love fest. I agree the development is continuing and it's exciting. I mean, you've suffered through terrible quarterback play for most of your life as a Bears
All
fan. And you deserve
a decent
better.
Jay Cutler season here or there, I guess.
I mean, if those are the greatest hits on your album as a Bears fan, it has been rough. Yeah. I think the other thing that makes the Browns appealing, and this is maybe me talking myself out of the Ravens a little bit as well, adding this on, if the Lions are going to hang around against someone, it's probably a team that can't stop the run. The Browns are good against the run. Only 3.8 yards per carry allowed so far this season. I think only the Bucks and Saints have been better than that. Look at last week. The Steelers, one of the weaker run defenses in the league, right? 4.6 yards per carry allowed this season. 11 carries of 20 or more yards allowed by that Pittsburgh defense. So you can kind of fit the differences in here and go, oh, okay, now I can understand how the Jared Goff gets 2 yards per attempt somehow didn't destroy them against Pittsburgh. They ran it really well with Swift. That's probably not going to happen this week. The Browns can probably slow down that run game and make Tim Boyle throw it, and that's probably not a good thing.
Do you hear what you're saying over there? Make Tim Boyle throw it, and you're not going to take this team?
I know. I'm drifting back. You might have to put the question mark back in there in editing.
We're locking it in right here. I've got Browns over Lions. Are you joining me or are you going Ravens over Bears?
I'll join you. I'll join you with the Browns.
Yeah, Browns over Lions. Browns over Lions. Let's do it. I'm also going to be in Cleveland this week, DVR. So I'll bring us some good juju. My wife's family's from Cleveland. We're going to visit the in-laws, my in-laws, her regular family for Thanksgiving, and we're heading there this coming weekend. So I'll be in Cleveland. I'll be right there, just soaking in all that Browns glory as they trounce the Lions on Sunday. Let's do it, man. I'm pumped. I'm feeling good. Secondary picks. Let's talk about it. We needed these secondary picks last week. They came in for us. They came through for us. Very happy that we do this segment so we can have something to point back to and see, no, we record this on Wednesday. That's why we give secondary picks, just in case we need them. Anyone else jumping out at you? We already talked about, you know, the big teams and, you know, maybe the why you don't like the Titans. Anyone jumping out at you that you would go to if you didn't have these teams available?
Yeah, so, I mean, the Browns would have been a secondary pick if I'd stuck with the Ravens. I guess that makes the Ravens my secondary right now. But I don't have the Patriots available in our main pool. I don't have them available on this show. I'm just curious, if you did have them available, how much do you trust them going on the road to Atlanta in a short week? Atlanta continues to be a mystery wrapped in a riddle. I mean, they got destroyed by Dallas last week. I don't think they're that bad, but they have some pretty clear flaws. And I think the trust level with the Patriots is also highly variable for a lot of people right now. So curious to know if you would use them in a pool where you had them available.
I probably wouldn't. I think they're a fine pick. Obviously, it depends on what you have available. Like, I'm using Cleveland before them. I'm using Tennessee before them. I'm using Tampa Bay before them. I'll save my secondary pick. Actually, I'll just mention it. I'm using Carolina before them, and I'll get to that in a second. I think they're a fine pick. I do worry about the fact that what I said with why I wouldn't want the Ravens over the Bears. Like, I like the Falcons with the points. I like the Falcons plus 6.5 in this spot. And so I just worry about backing a road favorite that's going to be a popular road favorite when I like the dog against the spread. I think the Patriots should win this game. The Falcons have been a mess. And you know what's going to be a big thing for the Falcons DVR is Cordarrelle Patterson really has become a huge part of their offense. And it's not just about what he does. It's not just about the, you know, 15 touches for 150 yards from scrimmage that he's been giving them on a regular basis this season. It's about what he forces defenses to account for with his presence on the field. And if he is taken off, which it seems like is going to be the case, he has been practicing with that ankle injury, but it would seem to be a big risk to get him out there for the Falcons. It's either going to be him gone or him at definitely less than 100%. I worry about that offense already without Calvin Ridley, now without Cordarrelle Patterson, not really having a significant threat out of the backfield, going up against a Patriots defense that we've seen be very formidable this season. That's what concerns me, and that's why I still feel fine about the Patriots, but I would have to be down a number of teams. They're like maybe fifth or sixth or seventh on the list of teams I would go to, and it's largely because I just think that avoiding road favorites when you like the dog to cover is good process generally in survivor pools.
Yeah, and from a really basic standpoint for me, I'm always a lot more confident in the Patriots at home than I am on the road. If we're still in agreement that 3 points is your standard value add being at home, I'd give New England more. I'd give them 3.5 or 4. You hear stories about it. We've heard them for years, right? Headsets don't work. All the goofy stuff that happens in New England. I don't know. So I think that's part of my hesitation is just they have to go on the road in general. The short week, that doesn't bother me. I think the way they're running the ball, especially, they look like a legitimate thorn in the side of other teams now, whereas earlier in the season, I was very skeptical. I think they're at least an average team, and maybe they're even playing a notch above that pretty consistently here on out.
Yeah, it really does feel that way. Carolina over Washington, 3.5-point favorites the Panthers are in this one. We're at this part of the season, DVR, where 3.5-point favorites is not something that's crazy to use in survivor pools. Usually we're looking for something bigger than that, but you don't have those teams available. I don't have the Buccaneers in the 10.5 they're laying against the Giants. Not in this pool, not in the pools I'm still alive. I've used them. So I feel comfortable going to the Panthers this week for a couple of reasons. Number one, there's a very good chance that the best quarterback they've had all season is starting for them for his first game in week 11. Sam Darnold was terrible. Sam Darnold was getting by with smoke and mirrors early in the season. Some of us, myself included, fell for it to a certain extent, but he showed his true colors shortly thereafter. They also haven't had a full-strength Christian McCaffrey until last week, and we saw what he did, just doing his thing on the ground through the air once again. I think that we're seeing the very best Panthers offense we've seen at any point this season on Sunday against a Washington team that was already a letdown defensively and just lost Chase Young for the season. I think they're going to have a lot of trouble with this Panthers offense captained by Cam Newton. And then on the other side of the ball, Panthers second defensively in EPA this season, trailing only the Buffalo Bills. I don't put any stock into what Washington did against Tampa Bay last week. They had two fluky early interceptions from Tom Brady. Both of them set them up in Tampa territory. One of them very close to the goal line. They converted that one into a touchdown. The other one they get into a field goal. This was still an offense that didn't do a whole lot. 10 points from possessions they started inside Tampa territory. Other than that, 19 points scored. I mean, this is still an offense that has a ton of issue moving the ball. And Antonio Gibson had a decent fantasy day because of the two touchdowns. He also needed 24 carries to get to 64 yards. This team has not run the ball at all this season. They have one pass catcher they can lean on in Terry McLaurin and no one else. Logan Thomas did not practice on Wednesday. They might be without him again this week. We know there's going to be no Curtis Samuel. And we were excited about this offense because of Ryan Fitzpatrick being there. Taylor Heinicke can make a play or two. Taylor Heinicke is a fun story. Taylor Heinicke is not a good quarterback. He is going to have a lot of trouble against a Carolina defense that has been very, very good against much tougher competition all season long. I can't believe this is only 3.5. It actually opened up at -2.5. It's already moved up a full point. Tried to get it. I wrote about this or talked about it on Best on the Board on Monday. This was a pick I loved at -2.5 because you could just tell that this was going to eventually cross the field goal. It's done that, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it get even 1 point higher by the time it kicks off. Love the Panthers if I can't use one of my more popular picks this week.
Yeah, I like that. Like the reasoning, and I just think that Washington defense without Chase Young becomes a little easier to handle up front, right? Maybe you can double team a little bit and do some things you ordinarily couldn't do when they're completely healthy.
Really quick, any teams that you're definitely avoiding this week? We always call this the landmines to avoid. I don't think anything fits really the landmines to avoid because how popular are any of these teams who aren't the Texans or aren't the Titans or aren't the Browns going to be? I just don't think they're going to be super popular. I'd be a little wary of Dolphins over Jets. Joe Flacco, at least, is a generally competent quarterback. I'd be wary of that pick. But I don't think there's any, like, oh, my God, blinking light, this team's popular, and you got to stay away from them this week.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if San Francisco maybe is a little bit riskier than people realize. 6.5-point road favorites going into Jacksonville with that early kick. But I don't, I'm not going to talk people out of it. So I guess they'd be kind of in that range for me where the number looks a little off. And part of that's just not having a good feel for how much better Jacksonville really is now than they were back at the beginning of the season. But we might be a little higher than we should be on San Francisco coming off of that big win on Monday night.
Yeah, I'm not really too interested in that either. I will say, though, you know, I mean, how many times at all this season have we seen the 49ers with all of their guys? You know, last week was one of the first times that we've seen Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk all out there, plus like a healthy top of the depth chart running back. And the offense looked good. I mean, I feel like the last time we saw that DVR was in week one, and Brandon Ayuk didn't really play in that game. But that was the game they put up 41 points against the Lions. And so, you know, there's something to this offense being at full strength and everything they've gotten out of Deebo Samuel this season. I'm with you. It's not a pick I would make personally. But it's one where I'm not going to really talk anyone out of it. I don't think there's any like obvious play that people should be totally staying away from the way that we should have been staying away from the Steelers last week against the Lions. I just don't think we have that this week.
Yeah, I guess if you said, what do you think the line should be? I would have thought 4.5 for San Francisco being on the road. So that's where my hesitation comes from. I think they win. I think they're the better team. There's not much of a debate there, but the margin is my primary issue. I like your let's give wild pick. I think that's a good call. I mean, you've got the Chargers over the Steelers. Right? Ben Roethlisberger might not be ready to come back for this one. Minka Fitzpatrick might be unavailable. T.J. Watt, is it a big question, right? I don't think he's been ruled out yet, but yep. We saw him limp off the field last week. That didn't look like a playing next week sort of injury when it happened.
It did not.
So you figure that it, at least two of those guys are probably not going to play, maybe all three of them. That's a very different Pittsburgh team when you start plucking key players from each part of that team like that. I know the Chargers are a Jekyll and Hyde sort of team, but I think that's a good call.
Both starting guards are out. Chase Claypool might not be ready to return from his toe injury either. That's a Steelers team that is really banged up on both sides of the ball with key players. I mean, you could take any team's 22, put them in a hat, and say, all right, these two offensive guys and these two defensive guys are out, and no matter what the names are, it would sting. But we're talking about potentially the quarterback, potentially a wide receiver, definitely two starting linemen, definitely one of the best players in the secondary, and then potentially, more likely than not, the very best player on the team's defense. Like, that is some big firepower to be losing on both sides of the ball. This absolutely is a get-right spot for the Chargers. This is one that I like a lot also. If I can't use the Browns, if I can't use the Titans, the Chargers, the Panthers, those teams are at the top of my list. But DVR, as we already talked about, it's Cleveland Browns week. Cleveland Browns week right here. Let's do it. Let's go. Going to be barking like the dog pound on Sunday for sure with the Browns over the Lions. The one true pick for both of us on this episode of the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast. That's going to wrap things up, taking a look at the Week 11 Survivor Slate. For DVR, I am Michael Beller. Thanks for being with us. Good luck in your Survivor pools. We'll talk to y'all soon. See ya.